much about.
So I say, let's get on with the show. Who's with me? I can't hear you. That's more like it. Whoop whoop.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Bye bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Oops.
You hung up on Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye.
Really, Kevin? Really? Really?
Hi, it's Lisa. I am going to be drinking a lot in the next few weeks because, you know, this time of year, things get crazy.
And I'll tell you, I don't wish that girl any bad luck, but I hope she gets hit with a car.
And now.
And I got a few surprises, so stick around.
He's the least cool guy I've ever met.
Our feature presentation.
I want to know what Rodney's surprises are.
Sure.
Good band name, by the way.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 13th of May.
Wow, we started with the right date.
We're
already so far ahead of yesterday's show.
I thought I'd go right date today instead of wrong.
I like it. How are you, Lisa?
Good, thank you.
Lisa, don't ever go away on vacation again.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say, but you're the one who went away last.
Ah, good point.
I'm saying we miss you. It's a sad little show with when Lisa's Aww, gone. That's all I'm
thanks,
saying.
Bean.
Especially when you give us that coked up speed addict doing your traffic for you.
then Bean has just me to talk to.
No.
And then when you're gone, I just have him to talk to. And yeah. That doesn't make either of us happy.
It's no good. Right. I understand.
Okay. You're the buffer.
Yes, that's what I am.
Is it possible to revoke all vacation?
Nope.
Would that be cool?
It's not cool.
Oh, all
it's
right.
Not possible or cool or legal.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, boys.
I suspect Lisa would not tolerate that. She puts up with enough. She's not going to put up with that.
I go home and cry as it is.
Oh, that's sad.
Hey, it's senior prank time. There have been a lot of stories in the news lately about senior pranks. And this one comes out of Lowell High School, which I don't know exactly where it is. It is somewhere in the San Francisco Bay Area. Officials there are trying to find out who wrote a certain letter. It is called the penis letter, is what they're referring to it in the hallways. It's on official San Francisco University School District paperwork. It's got the stationery. And it was put in the mailboxes of all the teachers at the school. I said, I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Attention all students and faculty. Mandatory penis inspection. Registry teachers, please read this entire announcement to your students. May 2014. To all male students, faculty, and staff of Lowell High School, the SFUSD district is required to conduct mandatory penis inspections of all male students, faculty, and staff at Lowell High School in accordance with Health Code 951. This year's penis inspection will take place on Monday, May 12th at 3:30 p.m. All circumcised males should report to the West Gym, and uncircumcised males should report to the East Gym. There will be one makeup date on Friday, May 16th at 3:30 p.m. If you are unable to attend either inspection date, a district official can arrange to meet with you on your own time, and then they give a phone number to arrange an appointment. All male students must attend an inspection, or they will not graduate.
Wow.
I love it.
A traditional Western pass or fail method will be used in the inspection. Please ensure that all penises are clean and orderly, as there will be no special circumstances. Note that a failing grade will be given to any individual with an erection. Have any questions?
This is a joke, right?
This is so well written, though.
It is. It sounds very official.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have any questions about the inspections, contact Mike Hawk. Say that fast. Director of Genital Communications, and it is signed Richard L. Dong, the head penis inspector.
Love
it. It's got a little logo on there of a red, white, and blue American flag style penis with a logo slogan that says "No penis left behind." So, I'm
sweet.
Sure
they took some. That took some work.
It did. Yeah, I bet there are a few people, probably not many, who looked at it and said, "Well, I guess that's what it's come to. That's what we're doing now."
Go to the West Gym.
Got to do that. But so far, no one has taken credit for it, and the school says that they are investigating it. The flyers, which mentioned a male body part, were removed, and the dean of students at Lowell is investigating. So we'll find out if anyone has to pay for that. But that's pretty clever, right? It's a good one.
I think so.
How much investigation is really going to go on? Don't you just walk into the senior class and go, all right, who was it? Nice job, but who was it?
Well, someone suggests in the article that what the school ought to do is make this penis inspection mandatory for senior males at the class.
Ah!
Those are the only ones who have to do it. So that at least that way the person who probably wrote it would be humiliated by it. But very clever.
But it needs to be a three-step process. where you go to three different places and it gets worse every time.
Why not?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't think that's the answer.
Rita Volk and Kate Stevens will be on the program today from the MTV show Faking It. Just how do you get popular in high school? Make out with chicks.
That's right. How do you get popular in life? Right. Make out with chicks.
That's right.
By the way, that's absolutely true.
It is true.
That's just the deal. That's science. We have tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014.
Mm-hmm.
We have, if you're going to be in a relationship, is the fact that somebody else committed murder a deal breaker?
What are you, uptight?
So I'm dating a guy, and at some point he says, oh, by the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Killed a dude?
Right.
Right.
Then what do I do?
Well, that's the question.
Did he pass the penis inspection?
Do you walk away? Which Lisa does first on every date.
Of course.
We are going to talk to the Black Keys.
Awesome.
How about that?
Yeah.
New CD comes out today, Turn Blue. So we got that coming up this morning. We have Lightning Strikes.
Always fun.
On the street out in front of the Clippers game, asking the fans about some of the new owners and some of the rumors that were going around. We also have highlights, speaking of the Clippers, of Donald Sterling on Anderson Cooper.
It's so much worse than what we thought.
It's so much worse. He's
deranged, I think.
He's awesome. Like, at some point, you just go, all right, it's sad and all, but this guy is a cartoon.
Isn't that your opinion, and that's what the media says.
Right.
He's your grandpa that says the stuff that, like, nobody says anymore.
Right, and everybody goes, oh, come on, grandpa, you're so crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's doing it for reals, and I don't think that's helping him much. So that's coming up this morning.
Maybe
as well.
He's going to claim he didn't know he was being taped.
Which he did.
No, I mean last night's interview.
Oh, last night. Oh, I got you. Yeah. That's a good point. He thought he was just hanging out with a reporter?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
Win your way into this year's Weenie Roast, which happens at the end of this month. K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 on Saturday, May 31st. Got tickets for that today. And at 9 a.m., we want you to go see Coldplay. Well, you don't go see Coldplay at 9 a.m., but at 9 a.m. you can win tickets to see Coldplay on May 19th at the Race Hall, UCLA. Get the details at KREC.com. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on?
This Beyonce story just gets funnier and funnier.
Yeah, what's up with that one?
There's a video TMZ has obtained because, you know, they obtain all videos now.
They do.
Everything goes through TMZ. For some reason, the entire internet is filtered through TMZ. I don't
Does
know how
Harvey
they swung that, but it was
just
good.
Have a blank checkbook, and then he just waits outside the next guy that shows up with a tape and just writes a big old check and puts it on the site.
I tell you, just yesterday, a friend told me about some video that her friend had taken and was up on her Facebook page. She said, I'd like to show it to you, but I can't because TMZ just called her and they bought it, so she just took it down from her Facebook page.
Wow.
So they must comb the internet constantly for that kind of stuff. I guess I probably shouldn't talk about it, but yeah, it'll be entertaining, I think, when we see it.
Give us more details.
I can't, I don't believe.
All right.
But TMZ had security video taken last week at the Standard Hotel in New York City after the Metropolitan Museum of Art's gala. That's that big Met ball they do where everybody wears their finest fashion-forward faux pas.
Sure.
And it shows Solange Knowles, Beyoncé's sister, just going after Jay-Z, just beating him with an inch of his life, just punching him, kicking him, hitting her with a purse. Jay-Z just stood there and like, just kill me now. He just looked like the most unhappy guy in the world.
He fights just like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, just avoiding. The security guard is doing his best to keep his employer safe, but Solange won't have any of that and goes off on him, too. The guy hits the emergency button to get things under control before the doors open because he knows press is waiting on the other side of those doors.
God.
Eventually, he settles Solange down. The doors open up. Solange bolts out, furious. Jay-Z walks out looking stunned. And Beyonce's there waving to everybody, just ever the pro. Just came out of it just unscathed.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
This whole story seems so unlikely to me, because we've never heard of any kind of problems between any of these family members. Is it possible that Jimmy Kimmel is somehow behind this? Is it possible, once again, he's pranking us all?
I don't know. Look, have you seen the video?
That's not...
I have, yeah.
I don't know. It seems like Jimmy does a lot more lighthearted, fun, I'm a stripper and I'm dancing kind of stuff. I don't know that he's doing the
She's wailing on him. Unless it's a stunt double, I can't see that's the case. I don't think Jay-Z would allow himself to be kicked with 5-inch stiletto heels for a gag.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough. Great story in New York Magazine, by the way, as a follow-up, talking about how if you're going to start a fight in evening wear, it's better to change into your after-party flat shoes first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good tip.
Yeah. They gave some fashion tips saying, Solange's open-toed sandals left her open and vulnerable to foot injuries. But if you're especially nimble and can balance yourself well, the 5-inch heel could cause some serious damage, so it could be an excellent weapon. They did in a tongue-in-cheek interview. So it's good stuff. Casey Kasem is missing.
What?
Casey Kasem is missing.
You
know, there's been a big fight going on between his wife, Jean, and his kids. They want to see him. For some reason, Kerry Kasem will not let his own kids visit him. He's got advanced Parkinson's disease. The guy apparently does not have much longer to live. And the kids, by all accounts, seem to want to just spend time with him. She is against that for some reason. They've been battling it back and forth for some time. I'm sure it all comes down to money somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, it seems like...
But now, Jean Kasem, his wife, said, oh, I don't know where he is. The guy's 82 years old, suffering from advanced Parkinson's. Gone. Missing.
I don't know where he is.
Gone walkabout.
Well, that's clearly a lie.
Yeah, she does, right? She just doesn't want to say it so the kids can't find him.
Right. So an attorney who appeared on her behalf yesterday at a hearing said, I don't know where he is, but I think he's been taken out of the country.
What?
Yeah, they don't know where this guy is, and apparently no one on that side seems to be willing to tell the children what's going on. So the judge, as you can imagine, was not too pleased about that, so he appointed Kerry Kasem, his daughter, as his temporary caretaker, and now the hunt is on for Casey Kasem.
That's all
weird. Is Don on the phone?
I guess Don wasn't on the phone.
This is so sad.
This week's Top 40 Countdown, where am I and how did I get here?
Can't the judge make his wife tell him where
he is? Well, if everyone says, I don't know, what are you going to do?
Put her in jail until she tells him.
How do you know she knows?
She knows.
Yeah, oh,
all
I
right.
agree.
Okay, but yeah, at least he just can't. I know that you know.
Well, she
Guilty.
Was in charge of him.
There's laws and stuff.
There are laws, Lisa.
Unless
you have to be able to prove it.
Lisa Law.
No, I'm with you that she absolutely knows. But in a court of law, you can't assume that.
In court of law, I don't remember, I don't know is the ultimate.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate weapon you can use when talking to an authority. Because they can't prove that you know.
Complicated that everyone's adults here, and she is his wife, and she's allowed to take him someplace.
They think he may be on an Indian reservation in Washington State.
Is that right?
I was going to drive out this weekend and take a look. I was thinking about that.
That's true. That's where they think he could
really?
Be hidden. Yeah.
Where they have the best medical care?
Bean, you could find your hero.
Wouldn't that be the best?
Go get him, Bean.
Unbelievable.
I don't know about medical care, Lisa, but pretty good medical marijuana in Washington.
Well, there you go.
My wife would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for those meddling kids. Zoinks, man. All right, let's take a look. Oh, before I get to celebrity birthdays, let me remind you that this Saturday, May the 17th, is the big K-Rock Microbrew Preakness Party at Santa Anita Park. It's a chance to hang out with Stryker and Omar and Dave the King of Mexico and, sadly, Beer Mug. But still, it could be a good time, even with Beer Mug there.
Here's a tip, though. Unless you have an hour, do not begin a conversation with Beer Mug.
Well, here's what I think about racing. You know, me, I like ponies.
And then you're stuck. It's a vortex of conversation. You'll never get out.
He will never quit.
I want to give a lucky winner a VIP package, which includes 4 VIP admissions to the event, backstage access for drink tickets, $106 that you can bet on the ponies. This will be a good time. It all happens at Santa Anita Park. Gates open at 10 a.m. this Saturday. Got to be 21 and older to enjoy. But call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 5. We'll get a VIP package to hang out with the gang at Santa Anita Racetrack. Today's celebrity birthday is Harvey Keitel, one of my favorite actors. 75 years old today. He's a good kid. Stevie Wonder, 64 years old. Alan Ball, writer and producer, excuse me, of 6 Feet Under and other hits, 57. Excuse me. Stephen Colbert is 50 years old today. Robert Pattinson is 28. Candace Acula, Carolyn from The Vampire Diaries, is 27. Actress Lena Dunham is 28 years old today. How does she celebrate? It doesn't matter. Just as long as she keeps her clothes on, who really cares? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes after 6.
I tuned in, like many of us did, to see Anderson Cooper sit down with the first on-the-record television interview that Donald Sterling, the embattled owner of the Clippers, gave on television last night. And I think he acquitted himself nicely. I think the issue is put to bed.
Well,
I think,
done, yes.
Do you talk about image rehab? I think now we want him to own the Clippers forever, right?
Yes.
I didn't know if anyone was still listening to me.
We're listening, yes.
There were so many surprising things in so limited amount of time. Anderson Cooper talked to him for an hour and 20 minutes, and it seemed like they showed almost all of it on the show last night, spread out over a couple of hours. But one of the most surprising things for me is how Donald Sterling claims that the Clippers love him.
The media, it's all the media pushing it.
You really, honestly, you really believe that?
I believe it 100%. I believe it 100%. People call me by the thousands. And give me support.
You don't think
they
players,
don't say I should have said that.
You don't think the players don't like you when the Clippers, when your team.
Why wouldn't they like me when I'm respectful and
why wouldn't the Clippers like me, you guys?
When I'm respectful,
right?
Why wouldn't they like me?
And by respectful, he means
We don't know.
Okay. We don't know. Yeah. I love that he says that thousands of people are calling him, by the way. Who do you really think he's getting a lot of support from people?
I'm going with no.
I'm going with no, too.
And I when they reversed their jerseys and didn't wear the name and they wore black socks.
Well, if one does it, then the others have to do it.
Oh, because you know how black people are. They just play follow the leader. Didn't it sound like that's what he meant by that?
What is wrong with him? He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable.
You think it was just pressure?
Well, what do you think? You think they're all going to walk off the team? They're all going to, can any of us just stop working?
You can stop working. Yeah. You couldn't, if you spent $1 million a day for the rest of your life, you couldn't spend all the money you have, Donald Sterling. This is another one of the most insane things he said on the show last night.
We all have to work. We all have to earn a living. We all have bills. We may work for an employer we don't love. I contend that they love me.
You think they still love you?
I do.
Sweet.
Oh, boy.
That is a sweet delusion right there.
He really is. Wow. What a dementia, that man.
Well, it's funny because in an interview with Barbara Walters, his estranged wife said that she believes he has dementia. Yeah. And Anderson addressed that in the show last night, saying, look, maybe she sees something because she's known him for a long time that I don't see. But I spent over an hour with him, and he certainly seemed sharp and certainly seemed to circle back to things we had spoken with earlier. At least he wasn't exhibiting any of the signs of dementia that I am familiar with during the course of the interview. Now, he didn't want to talk much about V. Stiviani, but he...
The girl?
The girl, as he calls her, right? He also would not confirm or deny whether they had a sexual relationship. Remember, she's saying that they did not. But he sure bought her a lot of stuff if she wasn't giving him sex, right?
She's good, if that's the case.
What a dumbass he is.
I mean, apartments and cars and trips and, you know, everywhere around the world. So... But he did have one rare moment of real, real emotion last night when it occurred to him that, wait a minute, I look like this and I'm in my 80s and she's not? So what's she doing with me?
I thought she cared for me. I was stupid. How could a girl care for a man 51 years old? She didn't. She wouldn't have released those tapes. But she's not a bad person. You know, she has to survive. She's a street person. But inside, she's a good person.
She's a street person.
She's a street person.
And he picked her up off the street.
What does that even mean, that she's a street person?
She came up rough.
By the way, there was also 10 other times when Anderson Cooper said, do you think she released the tapes?
I don't know.
And then right there he says, would she have released the tapes?
Yeah.
That's weird.
He did say that she is supporting her family of 15, by the way.
That's
and I
true.
assume supporting them with his money, I would imagine. All right, now we get into the meat of the matter. Again, if you're just joining us, talking about the Donald Sterling interview with Anderson Cooper on CNN last night. And Magic Johnson is going to be on tonight with Anderson, by the way.
Love it.
Was that the most surprising part of the night for you, Kevin, to hear the venom that he has for Magic Johnson, a guy that we have been told he considers, you know, his friend?
Yeah, because yesterday we played some of this audio, and he was talking badly about Magic Johnson, and that was shocking. And then last night on this special with Anderson Cooper, he went further.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
What has he done? Can you tell me? Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS. Did he do any business? Did he help anybody in South L.A.?
Well, I think he has HIV. He doesn't actually have full-blown AIDS.
Well, what kind of a guy goes to every city, has sex with every girl, then he catches HIV? And is that someone we want to respect and tell our kids about? I think he should be ashamed of himself. I think he should go into the background. But what does he do for the black people? Doesn't do anything.
That's the most astonishing thing I've ever seen anyone say. What does Magic Johnson do for the black people besides tirelessly work for the community to make neighborhoods in L.A., especially South L.A., better and give millions of dollars to charities that support African Americans?
Do you think that Donald Sterling doesn't know any of that?
I don't. How is that possible?
I don't know, because he seems so clueless in every other area
just
of his life.
Just never paid any attention, I guess.
And he goes, by the way, what it seems like really is going on here is that he is not only racist, but he is terrified of anyone who has AIDS.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like, is he just can't get past the fact that Magic Johnson has AIDS. And 25 years later, he just wants to bury him for that. He just wants to blame him for contracting a disease. He's not done.
Here is a man who's, I don't know if I say this, he acts so holy. I mean, he made love to every girl in every city in America, and he had AIDS. And when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him. I hoped he could live and be well. I didn't criticize him. I could have. Is he an example for children?
Yes. Yes. He is an example
for
children.
By the way, your basketball players are doing that right now. They are going all over the country having sex with women.
Wow, that is just shocking.
And every one of your basketball players would do anything to have a quarter of the talent Magic Johnson had on the court.
Yes.
It was astonishing last night.
What about Donald Sterling stepping in it with black people? Did you hear that, where he said there's no African Americans?
No, let me hear some of that.
And he realized as soon as the words came out of his mouth, even this clueless bastard realized, what am I saying? I need to shut up. Listen to this.
So you're saying that African Americans don't contribute to African American communities as much as Jewish
there's
people?
There's no African American. Never mind. I'm sorry. I didn't.
I did see that part, and the rest of his sentence was going to be that help their community as much as the Jews help their community.
He does.
That was the analogy that he was making.
Do you think Jewish people all over the world were going, don't be on our side?
Yes, absolutely they were. Not one of us, not one of us, not one of us.
So that's our man Donald Sterling
right there.
By the way, he doesn't think the owners are going to vote him out.
Yes, that was the takeaway from what happens next in this story is it sounded to me, though, that he respects their wishes and would be willing to work with them if that's what they say he has to do. But he does not believe that is what it is going to come to. I think he believes that this is going to blow over and that he is going to continue to own the Clippers in the next season.
But
I think that honestly is what he believes. But I think there was talk going around yesterday. Maybe it came from LeBron. I'm not sure. But there was talk going around that all the NBA players are saying none of them show up for work if Donald Sterling still owns the Clippers next year.
Yeah, and no, I don't think anything in history has completely solidified the players' union like this.
No,
I think
so
you're right.
Unbelievable. Dan Auerbach is the singer and guitarist and co-producer for a little band called The Black Keys. Their new record is called Turn Blue, available for download everywhere today. We are going to talk to Dan next hour all about The Black Keys and what their plans are for touring and the whole deal. Very excited. Love him. Looking forward to that. That starts just after 7 o'clock this morning on K-Rock.
First, let's look at some life truths with Jaden Smith. Now, this is Will Smith's kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And his Twitter feed is just fantastic.
Well, both of the Will and Jada Smith kids are blowing up the internet these days with their photos. You know, Ralph did the story a couple days ago about which one was it that was in bed?
It was the 13-year-old girl.
It was Willow who was in bed with some TV actor, and they were hanging out together. And somebody asked Will Smith about that, and he said, I think it's fine. And then yesterday, I think Jaden turned out to be in bed with one of the Kardashian younger girls, and they tweeted that picture out. So they don't live a minute of their life that doesn't end up on the internet, those two.
But Jaden does feel like he needs to school us in the ways of life. Like, if we could just learn a little of what Jaden knows, we would be much better off for it.
Well, in Jaden's defense, Kevin, he is the Karate Kid. He knows what he's talking about.
Here's an example. Fixed habits to respond to authority takes 12 years. Have fun.
Wait, hold on.
I don't even know what that means.
Fixed habits to respond to authority takes 12 years. Have fun.
I don't either, but I do know this.
I know Jaden went, yes. you can discover everything you need to know about everything by looking at your hands.
Well, that's just not true.
Stupid and not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
You don't know, man. these are life truths from Jaden Smith. Let's not forget that. Either I lie to you or we cry together. Either I lie to you or we cry together.
Okay, wait.
Yep.
That's his more sensitive side.
Either I lie to you or we cry together. I guess because if I tell you the truth, it'll be too much for you to handle. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm trying to figure these out, too, because I feel like once I get my head around it, I'll be able to be a better person.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just am unable to so far. Young Jaden, here's the deal for every timeout you give me. You'll give me $15 for therapy when I get older.
So is this having a conversation with his younger self?
Yep.
And maybe coming to a conclusion that he wishes he had been raised differently? Fewer timeouts means less therapy now?
Is there anything less offensive than a timeout? I mean,
yeah,
in the mistakes parents make, not sure a timeout is one of them.
Yeah, I don't think you regret your timeouts.
But he's going to be in therapy for life.
Sounds like it.
Unawareness is the only sin. And if you were aware, you would know.
Snap! I feel like I've just been insulted somehow.
Jealousy just reassures your love.
No, it really doesn't.
Jaden Smith says it does. How can you argue? These are truths of life. This is science.
How Jaden knows so much more.
By the way, I think Chris Hansen needs to check up on Kevin's Twitter feed because he seems to follow a lot of people like Jaden Smith and Justin Bieber. But how often does Jaden drop these pearls?
I don't really know. I was following BuzzFeed and they did a thing where they put all these into comic strips.
Oh.
So that's when I became aware of the actual knowledge that was being spewed that I was missing.
Yes.
Okay.
The moment the truth is organized, it becomes a lie.
Also not true.
Hmm.
You don't know anything, man. Three men, six options. Don't choose.
What does that mean?
That's my point. Like, I
what
feel
does
if
it
we,
mean?
If we knew what that meant, we would be better off.
All right, three men,
six options.
Don't choose. Don't choose.
Right, don't choose. Don't get caught in that trap.
I must not be on a high enough plane of Buddhism or whatever he's got going on to even begin to grasp. We're not even speaking the same language.
From the day you're, at least this one we can understand, from the day you're born to the day you die, you have one responsibility, and that's to make yourself happy. You, in capital letters.
Well, he's a selfish prick.
Don't follow. Just listen, and then make your own path.
Well, at least I understand what that means.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Here's the deal. We can all follow Christ, Buddha, Krishna. You choose. Or we can become them.
Really? I can become Christ?
You can become Christ or Buddha or Krishna.
Sweet.
Krishna, yes. Commit to love, not to people. Commit to happiness, because when you commit to people, the love leaves. And you are forced to stay.
My head is spinning. I'm sorry. I'm out.
I was hoping you guys could help me because I'm a little confused as well.
Not smart enough to keep up with Jaden. Sorry.
Jaden Smith tweets, one more. You do not know who you are or why you're here. So when you see someone who does, the society comes together as a whole and destroys them. Anything?
Nothing.
Lisa?
No.
Dean? Muggs, do you understand?
Really? I was hoping Muggs would get it, though.
I feel like if anybody would, it would be Muggs.
Right?
But severely confused. Win your way into the K-Rock Wheel Race 2014. We got tickets for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll talk to actresses Rita Volk and Katie Stevens. They are Amy and Karma from MTV's Faking It.
They're fake lesbians, don't you know? Very funny show. That's all coming up here on K-Rock. Hey, I was out on Friday. And for folks who, like me, weren't listening, you guys talked to Lisa May about her new BS cloud-based diet, right?
Yes, she's allowed based to eat, on clouds.
She's allowed to eat clouds. Lisa, tell Bean the fake disease your fake doctor gave you.
Hashimoto's.
Wait, first, before we move on.
Hashimoto's.
She went to a regular doctor, an actual scientific doctor.
A scientific doctor,
right.
Yes.
And a Western doctor.
A Western doctor, right. And he couldn't find anything wrong with her. So then,
because there's nothing wrong with her, right.
So then I went to a naturopath and who did more complicated blood work, much more...
found different things to charge you for. Got it.
Right. And I came back with Hashimoto's, which is where your immune system attacks your thyroid.
Sure. That's happening.
And so...
No, that's totally happening because look at Lisa. She weighs 1,000 pounds. Oh, wait, she's in the best shape of her life.
And so one of the ways that you can treat this is by pulling out all of the foods that potentially are causing inflammation.
So, Bean, I'm going to just sort of read down this list of things she's not allowed. Then we're going to talk to her doctor. So
maybe
we can get some clarification. Great. She's not allowed any kind of nut, seed, bean, grains, alternative sweeteners, fried foods, dairy products, all processed foods, alcohol, chocolate, eggs, and vegetable oil and culinary herbs.
Nightshades and gluten.
Sorry, I didn't have the whole list.
Well, those are important ones.
All of that stuff has been taken away from Lisa in this BS diet.
And by the way, nightshades, Lisa,
yes.
A term I wasn't familiar with, is everything. It's tomatoes and it's peppers.
It's peppers. And it's, yeah. It's white potatoes. Yeah.
That's. I mean,
eggplant.
It's diet staples is what it is.
She literally just swallows air.
Lisa,
it's
were
yummy.
You not, were you not
yummy.
Feeling well? Is that why you went? Because, again,
yeah,
I look at you and I go, there's someone who's in great shape and is healthy.
I've really, really, over the last 5 years, cleaned up my diet incredibly. Like, it's just so different than what – you know how I used to put sweet and low in
your wine.
Wine.
Yeah,
I mean, and my coffee tasted like a Hershey bar. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Those are the good old days.
There was no such thing as too sweet for me.
Right. But my question is then, why are you going this ridiculous extra step?
Well, because I have cleaned it up so much. And yet I don't feel like I feel that different. And I still get really, really tired at the end of the day, even before the end of the day, around 3 o'clock.
Let's see if we can figure out why Lisa May, who does a morning radio show, might be
gets
tired.
Gets up at 3 in the morning.
That's weird.
Well, it doesn't help, that's for sure. I could feel better.
We have her doctor on the line, Dr. Aristotle Freedom. Hello, doctor.
Hi, doctor.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Great to talk to you, Dr. Freedom.
Great to talk to
I'm
you,
I'm feeling
too,
good,
Lisa
too,
May.
By the way.
And, you know, I always say, every time we have a session together, Lisa May, Lisa will.
Sure. I repeat that in my head.
That's oh, you
right.
do?
It helps,
okay.
yeah.
Right, man.
Now,
yep.
You are not, just for my information, doctor, you are not a medical doctor. You're not one of those fancy doctors who went to medical school and learned things, right?
I'm sort of a medical doctor.
Oh, well, you are. You're sort of.
Yeah.
Did you graduate from medical school?
I'm not all hung up on completion, man, okay?
Right.
So how do you describe what you do, Dr. Freedom?
I'm a natural path.
A natural path.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, it's not a coincidence, man. I will show you the path of nature towards feeling better and changing your life forever, man.
Okay. So basically step one was to tell Lisa she can't eat anything, right?
Listen, it's the world we live in, man. All these processed foods and everything, I mean, they just tear you up inside. You end up with what I like to call leaky gut.
It's true. Leaky
Again,
gut
a
is a
term.
Big problem.
That is a big problem, man, because once your guts start leaking, you know what the next thing is?
I'm afraid to ask, but what?
Bunghole rain.
Oh, no.
I do not want that.
No,
you don't want bunghole rain.
It's like having a house, man, okay? And then a big thunderstorm comes, and if your roof starts leaking, the next thing you know, your basement's full of crap, man.
Well, I guess that's
See,
it.
See, wouldn't you go on this diet to prevent that?
Yeah, you don't want a crappy basement.
So exactly. is this what we used to read about the paleo diet? I mean, you basically just having Lisa eat what the cavemen ate, right?
Yeah, I tell her just to forage, man.
Forage?
Yeah. Just go out there, just whatever you can find on the ground, man. Eat that. Because that's more, you know, holistic. And one thing it does, it sure patches up that leaky gut.
Does anybody in the medical community, have they ever gone over your plan? Do they agree with your plan? Do you get some support?
Man, you're sure hung up on peer pressure.
Well, I'm just asking. I'm just asking if, because we asked Lisa, did she, after she talked to you, go back to a real doctor? And she said, no, why would I do that?
Hey, dude, if everyone's standing in the room in the dark and I have a candle, do I have to make sure everyone else likes my candle?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
That's what I think, too. Oh, hold on.
What is that?
Wow. What? Ow.
What's happening? Stop that.
That's my Tibetan bell, man.
Well, don't do that. That's painful.
It clears up all the negative energy that's coming from you, too.
It's rough, right?
It is
rough. It's hard to be here
with these
people.
No wonder you're tired all the time, Lisa May. Let's put up with these two chuckleheads.
Negative energy.
No, it's exhausting. I'm having one conversation with them, and I'm all just shattered.
Your chakras are probably wrecked.
My chakras are all up in my hoochie.
All right. Is that how it works?
None of those are things.
Wait, you have a hoochie?
Of course, we all do, man. Okay. We all come from woman, so we're all part woman, and so everyone's got a hidden hoochie.
How long?
I think that's unlikely.
I think that's a band.
Hidden hoochie? They're playing right up your bunghole rain. How long does she have to stay on this diet before she goes back to regular food? Dr. Freedom?
Hold on, man.
All right. What's up? You okay? Doctor?
Dr. Freedom.
Yeah. I'm just happy, man.
You are. You're very happy.
You're very happy.
You know why? Because I don't eat any gluten. I don't eat any nightshades. I don't eat any window shades.
Right.
I don't eat any sunglasses, anything involving shade. I'm all about light. I hate light bulbs, flames, matches.
Wow.
I haven't started that diet.
That seems all bad.
It's all about light, man.
It is all about light.
Flashlights.
Right.
You know, small appliance bulbs, just anything that has light. I mean, just keep your diet light. You ever hear about... Oh, I'm kind of full. I'm going to eat a light lunch.
Right, that means smaller portion.
What?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
It's all about the Black Keys today. The album is finally available. We've been waiting for this one for a long time. We'll talk to Dan Auerbach coming up right after the top of the hour.
But what does he do for the black people? Doesn't do anything.
I don't have the answer.
He only cares about the Black Keys. He doesn't care about the black people.
Anyway, very excited to catch up with Mr. Auerbach. That's coming up here on K-Rock. First, though, Ruff's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
I want to give everybody a heads up that this week Hollywood Babylon is traveling down to Brea. We love our folks down there in Orange County. So we're going to go back down to Brea at the Improv Friday night at 10 p.m. We'd love to have the folks down there in the OC come see us. You can go to improv.com, click on Brea, and then there we are Friday night at 10 p.m.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God.
Come on.
No.
It's fun. We go to Brea.
No.
We have a good time. And
Ralph, no. No. Ralph, no. No, no, no. No. No.
It's fun.
That guy doesn't think so.
Why isn't he good? Hot fudge, holy moly.
Yeah. Hot fudge, holy moly. What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly. I'm going to have some fun.
Come on, we're going to have some fun.
I'm not so sure.
Clay Aiken killed a dude.
What?
Clay Aiken killed a dude.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, really? You know, Clay Aiken was running for a congressional seat in North Carolina.
I kind of remember that.
Okay.
He announced he was running in his district for Congress.
Okay.
And it was a big deal because, of course, Clay Aiken is out when it comes to his sexuality, and his opponent, Keith Crisco, made hay with that politically. And so Clay Aiken killed him.
You mean murder killed?
I was with you right up until that last part.
Keith Crisco was found dead at his home yesterday afternoon by paramedics.
Okay, but that doesn't indicate that Clay Aiken was involved at all. It could have just been a coincidence.
Right, sure. You just put your head in the sand. Whatever you need to do to feel better about yourself. Crisco was battling Clay for the Democratic District 2 House nomination in North Carolina. Last week, the election was held. Clay Aiken was ahead by 369 votes. But Crisco refused to concede until every last ballot was counted, including military and absentee entries, which could have drawn things out for another few weeks. So Aiken killed him.
Again, I think that last part you may be making up.
But I got to say, I would be looking at suicide if he really lost to Clay Aiken. Right?
Keith Crisco, they claim, fell at his home. He was 71 years old, and they claim he fell. And it was the blow to his head that killed him.
Ralph, is it possible?
Or Clay Aiken murdered him.
Is it possible that he fell?
Look, I'm just saying there is no evidence that Clay Aiken didn't have him murdered.
But there's no evidence that you didn't have him murdered as well.
Actually, there is. I have an airtight alibi.
Oh, okay. Well, that settles it then. It's Clay.
Gay mafia, man. Come on. We all know. Let's stop kidding ourselves here, okay? Clay Aiken killed him with his own bare hands.
That didn't
happen. That's science.
That is not science. That is complete fiction.
No. In related news, Ruben Studdard is expected to win the election. See, because in America,
also American Idol.
But and Clay came in second.
That season, Ruben Studdard won.
Bradley Cooper may not be the dreamboat we all think he is. He may be hiding some dark secrets.
Did he kill a man, too?
His ex-wife, Jennifer Esposito, who's also a lovely and talented actress, has written a new book. And in that book, she talks about a relationship she had with a funny, smart, cocky, arrogant, manipulative guy.
Whoa.
Who, in her relationship with him, made her feel very sad and very alone. She may have been married to this person from December of 2006 to 2007.
But no names, please.
No name was mentioned in the book.
Hmm.
It is a mystery man she refers to as someone who hurt her deeply.
Hmm.
Quote, quote.
So probably, do we know who she's Clay talking Aiken. About?
We don't, probably Clay Aiken. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I it's hard to take the opinion of someone who has been scorned as to a real opinion of someone's character.
Sure.
So let's all take that with a grain of salt.
But not the Clay Aiken thing.
All that being said, Clay Aiken killed a dude, and I think Bradley Cooper has kidnapped Casey Kasem.
I don't.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's not the case either.
Casey Kasem is missing. A judge yesterday ordered an investigation into his whereabouts after an attorney for Casey's wife said the former Top 40 host and, of course, voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo and Robin on Super Friends, one of the great voice actors of all time. The lawyer said, oh, yeah, he's been moved out of the country.
Moved out of the country?
Yes. This is part of a very messy family squabble between Gene Kasem, Casey's wife, and Casey's kids, who are demanding contact with their ailing father. Casey Kasem, who's 82, suffers from advanced Parkinson's disease, reportedly can no longer speak, and is in bad, bad shape, and his kids are, by all accounts, desperate to spend time with him. Casey's wife, Jean, will not allow that to happen. So there's been sort of legal wrangling going on. And now, apparently, Casey and her legal team say, we don't know where he is. We think he's out of the country. And the kids are like, hey, what?
Yeah, he's clearly not well enough to travel on his own. So somebody's got to know where he
is. There's a lot of concern. The judge appointed Kerry Kasem, who is Casey Kasem's daughter, as temporary caretakers. Now she's in charge of a father that she can't find.
Well, that shouldn't be difficult then.
The attorney said the family believes the entertainer has been taken to an Indian reservation in Washington State.
It's just bizarre.
It gets weirder and weirder.
You made a good guess, but it's not the right one.
Oh, I thought he was in Washington.
That's
damn it.
Too bad.
We'll have to try another place.
Now, that's positive thinking.
Thank you. I'm on your side, Casey.
Got the tales coming up.
Case like propped in front of a penny slot machine at an Indian reservation casino.
24 hours a day.
Yeah. I heard the reason he went missing is because he was reaching for the stars, but he forgot to keep his feet on the ground.
Come on. You can't laugh that hard.
Get down on the phone.
Get down on the phone. It's called Dr. Aristotle back. I liked him.
There's a tiny, tiny number of people who got that joke, but they enjoyed the hell out of it, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Harvey Keitel, 75, singer Stevie Wonder, 64, Alan Ball, the writer and producer, is 57, Stephen Colbert turns 50 years old today, Robert Pattinson celebrates his 28th birthday, Lena Dunham from Girls is also 28, I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
This is Dan and Patrick from the Black Keys. Baby, I'm howling for you.
Today's the day we've been waiting for. It's Black Keys Day. Turn Blue, available all over the world today. Could not be more excited to welcome back to the program Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Dan.
Hello. How you doing?
Very good. This is like it's like having a baby day. I mean, this is like something you work so hard on, and today's the day it pops, and the rest of us get to tickle its little chin.
What the F are you talking about?
I'm just saying, I'm creating an album, releasing it to the world, it's a little bit like having a baby. Am I that far off?
Oh, I thought you meant like us releasing a record was like you having a baby.
No, I'm saying this is... All right, well, let's start
like
over.
Oh, us having a baby. Yeah, yes. I guess so.
Yeah, now we got
I
it.
I guess.
So you're excited, I can tell.
Yeah, ecstatic.
Dan, you did a lot of this last summer, though, right? Is that when most of this was recorded?
Yeah, we spent months, really, off and on, because we were still touring. So, you know, we had a little block of recording here and then a little block there. But, yeah, we recorded in mostly two places, and one in a studio called Key Club in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And we recorded most of it at Sunset Sound in L.A.
And my understanding is from, I guess you gave a talk to Rolling Stone magazine. You talked about how you had a little bit of trouble kind of finding your footing on this one when you first started recording for the album. It didn't go exactly great until you hit the right groove.
I don't know. It all went pretty good. But once we got the Sunset Sound and we really started just letting it all hang out and getting loose, it was like it really started to make sense. Just the creative juices were flowing and everybody was comfortable, and that's when it really started rolling forward, full steam.
From RollingStone.com, you know how music critics always try to describe music? So they say that El Camino is polished and hooky, and that Turn Blue, quote, has a groove-driven psychedelic glaze. Would you say that's accurate?
I think it's more like a barbecue honey glaze.
Okay, all right.
Good. But it's melodic as well.
It is. I mean, look, we've heard the record. We love the record. It's exactly what you intended it to be, which is it's still the Black Keys sound, but it's taking it to another level.
If I were going to compare it in Black Keys terms, I would say that it's probably a good mix of Brothers and El Camino. I think there's a kind of looseness and mid-tempo grooves like there were on Brothers, but we're also really focusing on melodies like we did on El Camino. So,
is it difficult to not repeat yourself? Do you find yourself doing something and then going, oh, you know what, that's too much like whatever else?
No, we've never actually had that problem, I don't think. You know, we never want to make the same record twice. We had great success with El Camino. I think most bands probably would have just gone in and made El Camino Part 2, and that really just seems like a lame idea to us. So we just went in and did what we wanted to do, and we ended up starting the new record off with a 7.5-minute jam, you know? So
and that song is so great. That's called Weight of Love. That's the one that opens up the album. And, it's what we used to call, when I was coming up, a headphones album. And I guess these days, with so many people listening to music on their phone, I guess it's a headphones album world once again. But it is the sort of song that you kind of get lost in, and you hear new things in it every time you go back to the record.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a headphone record. For me, the more I listen to it, the more I enjoy it, and the more things I pick out each time I listen to it. So it's not the kind of album that you know you get instant gratification on. I mean, maybe it is, but you know, at on a certain level, it gives you more the more that you listen.
Well, that's the best thing about music is the best songs that really stick with you forever. Sometimes they don't really click first time. You hear it two or three times, then you really start getting into it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, some of my favorite records of all time, I didn't even understand the first time I listened to them. And then all of a sudden they clicked, and I can't live without them now, you know?
This is the voice of Dan Auerbach here on the Kevin and Bean Show, singer, guitarist, co-producer of the Black Keys. Their new album is in stores and available for download today. It is called Turn Blue. Is it a blank canvas when you and Pat show up to the studio to start making a record? Do you just walk in and just start doodling and see what comes out? Or have you already done quite a bit of work ahead of time before you guys go to record?
On this record, it was a blank canvas. Yeah, we had no demos. Nothing was pre-written. And we didn't even talk about a direction. We just went in, clean slate. Press record.
Are there any doubts in your mind? Like, we don't have a plan. I hope we stumble onto something. Does that
No. ever? No. You know, because making music is the easy part for us because we love it. It's like, it's a treat. You know, we get to go into the studio and make music. It's like our favorite thing in the world to do. The thing that can mess bands up and you know, impede them from completing an album is like insecurity and overthinking things. And by now we're really good at, you know, if it doesn't work, we just move on. You know, we keep going. And we're good at picking things apart, you know, because subtracting from the song is just as important as adding to it, you know.
We're going to play something from the new Black Keys album called Turn Blue here on K-Rock in a moment, and then we'll come back and talk more with our guest Dan Auerbach is here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We'll be back right after this. The Black Keys, Turn Blue, that's the new album available internationally everywhere in all formats today. Co-producer, singer, guitarist Dan Auerbach from the band is with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dan.
Hello.
I say co-producer because you worked with Danger Mouse again on this record, and you're so well-regarded as a producer with so many other artists right now. What do you get by having another producer in the room with you? Because obviously you could do it yourself if you wanted to.
Yeah, we could do it. We have done it, but Brian's our good friend. So I don't know that there's anyone else besides Pat that I trust more with my music than Brian, you know? People ask, what is it like having Danger Mouse produce an album? And I really don't know what he's like when he works with other bands, because when we're in the studio together, he's really just like a third member of the band, and he's our good friend, and we get to joke around and have fun and experiment with sounds, and it's, you know, it's the best.
So basically, he's a hangout partner. This guy that's creative.
Absolutely, we get paid to hang out.
Right. How different have your lives been? You and Patrick's lives been with the ridiculous success of the Black Keys over the past couple of years? Has there been a downside with just, for instance, just being so recognizable now?
It's weird because, you know, the success is definitely there, and we've been working more than we've ever worked. I mean, we've played 200 shows last year, but, you know, we still aren't like stars, you know? Our success isn't based around stardom. Kanye West is a bigger star, but like we sell more tickets than he does. You know what I mean?
And you're not crazy.
It's still for – well, I love Kanye.
I do too,
music,
but he's crazy.
But what I'm saying is like, you know, it's still more about the music, and we're really lucky for that, you know?
I remember when you were kind enough to do a Red Bull Sound Space performance here at K-Rock last year, I think it was. You guys came in and played. Remember that for a small room for a couple hundred people?
In front of the wall of boomboxes?
Yeah. Know. Yes. Had a lot of fun. And I asked you at that time, and I'll bring it up again here, that nobody gets into a band like the Black Keys and plays the kind of music that you guys, especially in the first few records, played and expects to have this kind of success. I mean, this must still kind of blow your mind, even though you've worked hard and you earned it. It must still blow your mind that so many people are listening to Black Keys records around the world.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really make sense, to be honest. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it.
Like I told you,
we could have just made El Camino Part 2 and we'd made the exact opposite. I mean, it's like, you know, you couldn't map out a career for a band like we've had. It just wouldn't happen. So, you know, it's just kind of mind-boggling. And our intention wasn't to be stars. We didn't want to be on a big stage and headline festivals. And that wasn't, you know, I always hear like the behind the scenes of like, or behind the music with like Motley Crue or something. And they just wanted to be stars and get girls. And
right.
we were nerds, man. We just wanted to make recordings on a 4-track.
What do you mean we're nerds, by the way, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. We are nerds, you know. And when we started, we wanted to make recordings. And then all of a sudden, those recordings got reviewed in Rolling Stone. And then we're opening for Sleater-Kinney. And then we're opening for Beck. And then Radiohead. And then it hasn't stopped for 12 years.
You've got extensive plans for touring this summer. And it looks like it's almost exclusively festivals, including a bunch of other bands. What's the difference for you to headline your own show or to headline a festival of a lot of other bands?
Well, I think that for me, playing our own shows is a better experience. For me, you know, because everything is just better. Our sound is better and our show is better and the audience is there to see us, you know. But festivals are fun, you know. I remember being a kid and going to festivals and it's fun as hell to see all those bands in one place.
In our remaining moments here with Dan from the Black Keys here on K-Rock, talking about the new record available everywhere today called Turn Blue. You guys may have overdone the touring on the last album, and I think you've said that. You guys were about as fried as two guys could ever be coming off the road. Are you going to scale it back a little bit, or are you pumped up and ready to go for another 2 or 3 years if that's what it takes for this record?
No, every year we say we're going to scale it back, and it never happens, so I have no idea.
You can't stop rocking, like, Dan. That's your problem.
We put some sort of like Vulcan mind trick on ourselves, and we ended up just agreeing to do all this touring. I don't know.
These songs, though, you can see how much promise there is in playing them live because of all the different directions that they go and the different tempos and how heavy they get in some places. I mean, this record looks like it'd be a lot of fun to see live.
Yeah, it's fun to play. We've got our a good friend playing with us now on bass, Richard Swift, who makes, you know, kick-ass records and is a great guy, good friend. So it's just exciting playing the new songs. It's really fun.
Well, it's great to hear you as happy as you are and as happy as you are about the record, and we are too. We've been listening to it. You know, we were lucky enough to get advance copies of this, and we love it so much. We're excited that today's the day that all Black Keys fans can turn out to Turn Blue. That's the name of the new album, available everywhere. I know we'll see you again, Dan. We really appreciate the time. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks.
Becker writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. Hey, guys, great to hear Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys on the show today. Great way to start my day. At least Kevin can't hang up on him. So I was happy to say that at least we were able to finish the conversation with Dan.
How dare you?
Have him say goodbye, unlike Paul McCartney. Let's talk Clippers for a second. Last night on the TV, here's my favorite 9 seconds of the Donald Sterling interview with Anderson Cooper.
What has he done? Can you tell me? Big Magic Johnson, what has he done?
Well, yes, he's a business person.
He's got AIDS.
There you go. I mean, that just sums up everything.
He couldn't wait to say that.
That really is unbelievable. He wouldn't even let Anderson finish his sentence before he blurted that out.
So with the backdrop of that going on, it's a miracle that the Clippers haven't just given up and turned in their uniforms and walked off the court. But they are still playing, and they are locked in a series with the Golden State Warriors right now that's all tied up at 2 games apiece. They do play Game 5 tonight. It is away. It is in Oakland, 6:30 TNT. Our man, former producer of the Kevin Bean Show, Lightning on the Street, Lightning Strikes, joins us in studio. You went to the last Clipper game. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm great. Morning, guys.
The crowd, the Clipper fans, though, are still showing up and seem very enthusiastic and still are in love with their team, right?
Oh, my gosh. So much so. Yeah, absolutely.
Probably more. I feel bad for them. You know what I mean? Like,
so much spirit on the street. People were really, really excited going to that game. I think really rallying around. You know that the We Are One campaign. I don't know if that's what's doing it, but people are showing
that campaign. That's what they're
The billboards are up on the 405 and the We Are One campaign, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see those. Tell us about the possible new owners and what information you have.
Well, first off, did you guys know that Donald Sterling only paid $12.5 million for it back in 81?
Yes.
And it's worth $700 million.
He's likely to make, $700 to $1 billion off of this. So even if he has to get rid of his team and he's sad about it, he's going to be sad to the tune of another $1 billion.
He's Frank McCourt. Frank McCourt took over the Dodgers, ran it into the ground, and then made $1 billion off of it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So who are some
of the people? You've got David Geffen, who's worth $6 billion. Larry Ellison from Oracle, the financial wizardry of Oracle there, $50 billion.
He's only got 50?
He's only got 50.
All right.
And then you have Oprah Winfrey at a paltry $2.9 billion. And then you've got the Guggenheim partners with Magic Johnson, and that
ones that bought the Dodgers.
Yeah, they own the Dodgers, and they own Dick Clark Productions, The Hollywood Reporter. They have $170 billion on tap.
Wow!
So, of the suitors, that's probably your most likely, right? And then,
if it gets into some sort of a bidding war, you mean they'll just win just by virtue of being able to spend more for the team?
And then you've got names in the ring or hats in the ring like Floyd Mayweather. Who's got – Forbes says he's got $750 million. I don't know if that's true.
Really?
But, yeah, $750 – if you add up everything he's done.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
But he does spend a lot of it. But, you don't want him in charge of your team.
I was down there at Staples Center trying to find out which of these potential suitors would be best for the team. And then, of course, I made up just a bunch of bogus ones.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say.
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
Lightning reporting from Staples Center. Let's talk to some Clippers fans. Who do you think is the best suitor for the team?
Well, not Shelly.
How about Floyd Mayweather?
No.
What's your name?
Anthony Gardia.
All right, big fan for how many years?
Oh, I'm not Clipper Nation about 5 years now, I'd have to say.
Who do you think should purchase the team?
I'd have to say, honestly, man, I'd be good with Magic. I'd like to see Magic get come around here, man. I like what he's done. Not a big Dodger fan, but I like what he's done to the organization. Been up to the stadium, big changes, made a whole bunch of stuff happen, man.
Justin Bieber's throwing his hand in the ring, too.
Oh, no, hell with the beat. Go back to Canada, dude.
So if Oprah takes over the team?
Oh, hell no. No. We don't want none of that around here, no.
Anything's better than Sterling, right?
Well, how about Floyd Mayweather and Justin Bieber?
No, but Justin Bieber.
Well, how about Dr. Phil and Dr. Drew teaming together?
Dr. Drew I would deal with, yeah.
What changes would you like to see made in the team under new ownership?
Well, they got Doc Rivers, got a lot of class, and Oprah.
Oprah?
As long as keeps his mouth closed and gets by the team, that'd be all right.
Actually, my language is limited, but we came from Turkey to support our national basketball hero, Hidayet Türkoğlu. He's playing for Clippers now.
What do you think if Oprah took over the team?
Can you repeat, please?
Would you like it if Oprah Winfrey bought the Clippers? Oprah.
Yeah.
You know who Oprah is?
No, I don't know.
She has a network on television? Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, I have no idea about that.
You've never heard of Oprah?
Yes.
You know Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
You know Justin Bieber, you don't know Oprah.
Unfortunately.
I've had season tickets since 1987. The greatest thing that's ever happened to the Clippers was getting rid of Donald Sterling.
David, how long have you been a Clip fan?
I've had tickets for 16 years.
Let's talk potential new ownership of the franchise.
You know, it's more who I don't want there. I have a strong opinion about Shelly. And I just, it's so strong that I even asked my Clipper guy, when can I cancel next year? Because if she's still on, I don't know if I want him. Yeah, I don't care about who the owner is. I care about who it isn't. It's all about getting rid of Shelly.
I got an opinion for you.
What's your name?
Nate Tyler. I think the fans should be the owners, sort of like the Green Bay Packers. We should open up the ownership, a consortium of fans who invest in the team. Kick Sterling out and the fans take over. That's my opinion. Fans own the Clippers.
So let's assume you're a stockholder in the team. What would you do? What would you change? Can you give me free beer?
Yeah.
Free beer?
Free beer.
I want this man as the owner. How about Magic?
Magic's another good one, you know?
Floyd Mayweather Jr. and Justin Bieber.
I don't know about Justin Bieber.
Diplo, Skrillex, Keanu Reeves.
Okay, Diplo, hell yeah. Diplo, definitely.
Who do you think should buy the team and why?
Donald Sterling.
No, who should buy
it? I don't think he should sell it.
Oh, really? Why?
Because I don't think you should force somebody to sell a team that he owns just because he has bad thoughts.
What's your name?
Teddy.
All right, Teddy, I can see you're a Clip fan based on the jersey here. So, as you know, Donald Sterling may be forced to sell the team, right?
Donald Sterling.
Okay, well, there's some potential owners like David Geffen, Larry Ellison.
No,
Oprah Winfrey.
No.
How about Magic Johnson?
Magic.
Floyd Mayweather.
No, him too.
The Malcolm in the Middle kid. Frankie
McFucking Lil Weep. No, hell no.
Dr. Dre?
Doctor. All doctors.
That guy didn't want anyone to own him. Wants them to be unowned.
F all doctors.
Yep.
Lighting, that was very entertaining. How hard were you dancing during that thing, though? What nightclubs did you tape those interviews in?
Kevin turned this into a dance party, didn't he?
Certainly did.
It's a lightning dance party.
Yeah. All I'm saying, by the way, is free beer.
Free beer?
That's free beer.
No matter whoever takes over the team, that should be the policy.
Yeah. That's correct. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
I'm excited that we're giving away the K-Rock Weenie Roast tickets right now, but I'm nervous that we're doing it with Kevin and Bean Aroki because last time we did it, Lisa yelled at us all, remember?
Yeah, I was singing.
She brought it.
I'm very afraid. If you want to go May 31st with us to the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater for K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to play for those tickets coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
You know, with the Showbiz Beat, I always love to announce who's going to be hosting the major award ceremonies.
Sure.
Whether it's Neil Patrick Harris or Hugh Jackman doing the Tonys or whoever's going to be doing the Oscars. And it's with great pleasure I get to announce today they finally released the names of the folks who are going to be hosting the AVNs.
That's the adult video?
The adult video awards, yeah.
Okay.
The AVN awards.
Right.
Come on, it's big news. It's going to be Alexis Texas and Tommy Pistol.
Oh, yes. So they're terrific.
They're the best. I think it's an excellent choice. I think they're really going to deliver what the AVN is looking for when they cover their award ceremony.
Mr. Pistol's going to bring it.
Alexis Texas, of course, you know her from Big Booty Shakedown, Bikini Frankenstein, and Buns of Anarchy.
I'm sorry, Bikini Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That does not sound sexy.
Come on, Bikini Frankenstein. And Tommy Pistol, his work is, what a body of work. 215 films.
Wow.
Tommy has done. Among them, Booty Shorts, Who's Your Daddy 14, and Game of Bones. So, I'm very excited. Of course, Tommy's a former winner. He was a Best Male Newcomer back in 2007.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
I got to see Bikini Frankenstein. I'm looking it up right
that
now.
That sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Best. Bikini Frankenstein.
Wow. Well, she basically is just, she's just got that, you know what they wrap the mummies around with?
Yeah.
She's just got that on her. The rest of her looks fine.
Yeah, gauze.
Yeah, just gauze. Just wrapped in gauze until she's not. That's what's going on in that movie.
That's right. Fox has announced they're making some changes to American Idol.
Okay.
President of the American Idol fan club said, is that show still in the air? We watched The Voice. Fox Entertainment President Kevin Riley told reporters during a news conference yesterday that since Idol hasn't exactly been the ratings killer it has been, they're going to shorten the program from 50 hours a season to 37 hours a season.
That's a good step in the right direction.
That's a good start.
I think so, too.
That would involve doing two-hour shows two nights a week at the beginning, then moving to one two-hour show a week towards the end.
It's hard for me. I'm not interested in that show anyway, but it's hard for me to watch any show that's 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
It really
is. That
is
a lot, yeah.
That's a lot.
Unless it's The Bachelor, I agree.
By the way, Ralph, we talk about the ratings decline of American Idol. I looked it up yesterday because I was curious. It still had 12 million people a week watching that show.
Yes.
It's still a huge hit.
Yes.
Just compared to, you know, the 20-plus million days, obviously it's dropped quite a bit. But it's still, I mean, it's still worth them doing, I guess.
But I think what's been concerning them is the consistent decline
season
after season after
season.
It is circling the drain. It may not be in the drain by any stretch of the imagination, but not the direction you want to go in.
It's certainly wearying that it's still on the air.
Yeah. I'm tired just telling you this story. Let's move on to something more exciting. NBC is going to take advantage of having the Super Bowl this year by pumping up one of the greatest shows on television. A double episode of The Blacklist will follow the Super Bowl. That's good stuff right there.
That is good stuff.
Oh, man. That's such a good show. This has been done before. Back in 2006, ABC ran a double episode of Grey's Anatomy, which pulled in an amazing 37.9 million viewers.
Wow.
And it certainly gave that show a considerable boost in its regular ratings. So smart move on NBC to take a terrific show and slap it behind the Super Bowl and let everyone get a chance to discover what many of us already have, which is red is scary.
And Megan Boone plays the worst FBI agent in history.
Best FBI agent.
You feel like she's never even been to the FBI training academy.
First
she knows
of all,
so little about how to do her
you
job.
You don't know
because you weren't there.
And also, Tom Bien. She, you may remember, was an analyst. At the beginning,
not a field
the
agent.
Beginning,
right.
At
a new one.
A new analyst. With very little experience, who was pushed into the field because Reddington insisted on working with her.
Okay.
So all that considered, I think she kicks
Major
Boutte.
I agree with everything you say. So my advice for her would be to not go to ridiculously dangerous and sensitive situations by yourself with no backup and
she
no plan on how to accomplish anything.
Mean she's being forced.
My advice would be to you.
Open up a blog.
Open up a blog, first of all. And second of all, sit on it, Potsy.
How many times has she had to have her life saved during the course of The Blacklist?
Why don't you not
dead?
Watch? Maybe this
just
isn't for
watch.
You.
It is.
How many
Maybe
times would she be dead if another agent hadn't come in and saved her?
We don't need your negativity.
That show isn't for you. Why don't you not watch? Why
She's a terrible FBI agent.
Go watch the Weather Channel. That's where you belong. Looking at cold fronts. Bastard.
I mean, come on.
That's a good point.
And it's come to this. A Tokyo-based designer has created a line of clothing that blocks cell phone signals for the person wearing it.
A line of clothing that blocks
the cell phone. Yeah, you put on these pants and shirt and jacket, and it will block the cell phone signals to your phone. This guy who created it, Kunihiko Morinaga, Lisa also has that, by the way.
She does. She's been diagnosed.
Created the clothing to protect its wearers from the virtual world. He said some people need a break from technology. geez, if there's only some way you could stop answering your phone, so some way you could not have your phone bother you, turn it off!
That seems a lot easier than buying a new wardrobe.
No, put on them big metallic clothes.
Or leave it somewhere else. You don't have to bring it with you.
Turn it off. Keep it in your pocket. Just turn it off.
Sure. There's that.
You don't need to buy a new wardrobe of cell phone signal blocking clothing.
That may be making life more complicated than it needs to be.
Madness. Hey, Friday night, come see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon at the Brea Improv.
No.
We're coming to Orange County because you guys are always so nice to us down there. We're going to be there at 10 p.m. on Friday.
So what?
I just got dissed by Rodney. You can go to improv.com, click on Brea, and there we are Friday at 10 p.m. You get your tickets right there. Love to see you. Come on out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lena Dunham, 28 years old today. Robert Pattinson, also 28. Stephen Colbert celebrates his 50th birthday today. Alan Ball is 57. Stevie Wonder turns 64. And legendary actor Harvey Keitel, 75. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Nothing better than hearing Lisa quietly rehearse in the corner of the room.
You guys, the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 is fast approaching. May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. It is completely sold out. Thanks again to everyone who bought tickets when they went until last Friday. But we are going to give them away between now and the show, including right now with a game we like to call Kevin and Bean Aroki.
If you want tickets to a show and if you really want to go see a band, you're a fan, put your hands up, because now it's time to play Kevin and Bean.
The one good thing Mug has ever done.
That's true. I love that song.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yes.
All right. So the way this game is played, if I recall correctly, is that we get a contestant on the line, we spin a wheel, and then whoever it lands on is going to be singing one of the songs by one of the acts that's playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast this year. The caller then has to come up with title and artist, correct?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Title and artist. That's going to be tough. And, of course, none of us, except for Ralph, can actually sing. So that's what makes this game so terrifying for the rest of us. All right, so let's meet our first contestant, shall we?
This is Marissa from La Puente. Hi, Marissa.
Hello.
Marissa, I apologize in advance for whoever this lands on because it is not going to be pretty. So let's spin the wheel and find out what it is.
Okay.
And the person singing your song is Bean.
Bean!
Yeah! Oh, no.
Sorry,
no.
Marissa. The best one.
You guys shouldn't allow me to sing after what I did to you last time.
It's going
to
land on you every time. I got news for you.
All right, so listen up, Marissa. I'll attempt this song. You tell us by title and artist who it is. You ready?
Okay.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Never gets old. That's not it.
Now I'm warmed up. Here
we go. That's not it. Here you go.
Oh, we were young and drinking in the park. Hey, it sounds like she knows it. Do you know it?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's Bastille.
Bastille? What song?
Bastille.
Yeah, what song?
What song?
Right, what song?
Name the song, too.
There was nowhere else to go.
What?
It's Bastille.
And you said you always had my back. Oh,
seriously, we need an answer.
We need a title of the song, Marissa.
Marissa.
Sorry.
We were young and drinking.
Yeah.
That's called Bad Blood, but thank you so much for playing. All right, who's our next contestant?
Our next contestant is Greg in Garden Grove. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Hey, Greg.
Oh, good spin.
Thank you.
That's seriously. Great.
That felt good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me.
Hey, Kevin!
All right, Greg, listen up. Title and artist, one of the songs you'll be hearing if you win tickets to the Weenie Roast. Kevin, blow hums the hits.
A lot of blowing there. Come on, Greg.
All right, that fits in the tantrums.
Yes. Yes, and the song?
Money Grabber.
Oh!
No.
It's the Walker.
Who crazy is what they think about me?
Wow, Wow. Kevin beat a rookie, and Kevin managed not to have to sing a note, by the way.
Pretty creative.
But I was able to whistle, which I'm really good at.
Yeah. This is very sad, you guys, that both contestants got the band but not the song.
JoJo.
Hey.
We are playing Kevin and beat a rookie.
Cool. Kevin and beat a rookie.
Here we go. And the person singing your song is Ralph Garman.
Hey!
Yay!
All right, JoJo, here's your song. I could lift you up. I could show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck, even if the sky is falling down.
Safe and sound by Capital City.
Yeah! Yeah!
Nicely done.
All right, Ralph's better than we are.
Of course he is.
That's just singing.
One in the hopper. Let's meet our next contestant and spin the wheel again.
We got a hopper.
We do have
a
hopper.
I'm glad we got the hopper back.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. You ready for Kevin and Bean Aroki?
Sure.
All right, the person singing your song is Beer Mug.
Yay! Yay! All right, here goes.
All I am is a man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but
a sweater song. Stop it!
Yeah.
Sweater song.
Are we giving it to him?
Sweater song.
Caesar did the sweater song.
What's the name of the song? Matt.
Neighborhood.
Sweater.
Mug's version was pretty sexy.
Yeah, great deal of earnestness in Mug's delivery there. Weren't you surprised by that? A little more depth than you expected?
No, he's stoned.
Let's go to, is it Carrie L?
Yes.
Carrie L.
From the planet Krypton?
All right, the person.
Unconfirmed, Ralph.
Oh, okay.
The person singing your song is Lisa May.
Yeah!
So lucky.
All right, now everybody stand back from your radio, okay? Maybe turn the volume down a little bit because the girl likes to project.
Not that kind of song. There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations and the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow.
No wonder people think you're black.
By the way, no hint whatsoever of melody in that performance.
Just a rap, pretty much.
That's the song. That's the beginning.
Carrie L?
I have no idea. Congress?
Sorry. Sorry, that's Beck. Where it's at?
There's a destination.
I don't know. I think that was pretty dead on.
It was pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Get off my ass.
I think we, who's in the drawing here? I kind of lost the thread.
JoJo and Matt.
JoJo and Matt. Only one can win tickets to the sold out Kid Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Who's the winner?
It is Matt.
Matt! Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you. For once, don't fire beer mug.
Yeah.
Don't fire beer mug.
Oh, sorry, Matt. We were wrong. It's JoJo.
JoJo's the winner. Kevin and Bean,
got to give it up for the KROQ.com worker bees, by the way, working overtime. They already have our Black Keys interview up at KROQ.com. If you missed it with Dan Auerbach from the band Last Hour, that's up at KROQ.com or KevinAndBean.com. And you can also see and watch video of Brandon Boyd from the band Incubus, who stopped by yesterday.
Did somebody else take over our website?
I don't know what's going on, but we got a lot of good stuff up there right now. So if you missed those two recent interviews and also Paul McCartney from last week, you can find all those at KevinAndBean.com or KROQ.com. Ralph did a story yesterday that I thought was fascinating. It was a bad surprise for the lady who was on a Turkish dating show to find out that one of the bachelors that she had to choose from, he didn't just kill one person in his life. He had killed two.
Two?
He killed his first, and he said this on a dating show.
Yes.
So it'd be like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Where you kind of usually go on to put your best foot forward, perhaps. First impressions are important, right?
He said he eloped with his first wife, who was also his cousin.
Okay, so far so bad.
They were both 17, and he ended up killing her and served like 4 years out of 10 or 12 or whatever he got. He got out for good times.
All right.
Good behavior, I mean. And then he had a girlfriend who he says, quote, she was accidentally killed when I swung the axe.
Well, it sounds to me like it was her fault then for getting under the axe.
Now, I submit to you, maybe this guy doesn't get another date.
By the way, that girlfriend that he killed was the girl that he was having an affair on his wife with, and she was also married. And he, apparently the altercation with the axe happened because she had told him she was going to leave her husband for him and did not. So he may have a lot of issues.
And now he's on a dating show?
He's on a dating show. He's 62 and on a dating show.
And bald.
And it looks like the girl is 24, 25. Like, I don't understand. It probably made her decision process much easier.
Yeah. Yes, I imagine she didn't even have to know about the murders to decide this wasn't right for her.
But being the arguer that he is, yesterday said, off the air or on, I don't remember. He's like, so a guy commits a murder. Does that mean he can't ever get married again for the rest of his life?
Look, I'm not defending this guy. If it happens twice under these circumstances, I wouldn't trust this guy. This guy's a write-off as far as I'm concerned. But I think, Kevin, you made some – we were having this conversation off the air, I think, and you made some reference to – there are a lot of other guys out there that somebody could date that have never killed anyone.
Right.
To which I said, you could be missing out on a batch of really good people if you eliminate everybody from your social circle just because they killed a person or two. That's all I was saying is, look, if somebody kills something, even if it's a heinous, awful crime, but then they go away and they serve their time and they come back and they're still 35 years old, does that mean they never find love the whole rest of their life? The next 40 years they live, they don't get married because they killed someone when they were a teenager? I don't think automatically that should be the case.
I'm going to say yes.
No,
really?
I'm kind of with Bean, especially
you'd
like
you'd give a guy who committed. Now, this is not an accidental murder.
Right.
This is an on-purpose murder.
Well, let's say like a crime of passion.
Okay, so he found his girlfriend or wife in bed with another guy.
Right,
okay.
And he lost his mind.
Right.
And that was 20 years ago.
Then right.
That guy maybe...
Doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's a bad guy, and that may have been a whole... I mean, 20 years is a long time. People do change.
I think it sort of means he's a bad guy.
Well,
I'm much more willing to eliminate that category of whatever percentage of society they are. What, 0.5%? And keep my options open to the other 99.5%.
How desperate am I?
Well, that's my question.
Have
is,
I had a date in the last
6 months?
Are there
still people out there who haven't committed murder that might still be options?
Is he pretty cute? These are all questions I have to answer first.
Now, Lisa, what if it's not a crime of passion? What if it's he was 20 and he had a boneheaded, stupid idea one day to rob a convenience store and it got out of hand and he ended up shooting a clerk or shooting somebody on the way out or something like that. But he couldn't be more sorry. He served his time. He's not been in any trouble since. But he was 20.
Yeah.
What now?
Well, and I'm thinking of like gang members that killed somebody, went to jail, turned their lives around, and now work with kids. Those guys, those are good guys now. So there would be circumstances where, I'd give him a pass.
I think if it came down to actually dating somebody like that, you might feel a little differently.
It
like,
could be.
Like maybe you're putting yourself in harm's way without realizing it.
Let me ask you this question, Kevin. And it's just, we're just talking hypothetically.
All right.
Okay? Alessandra Ambrosio.
Yes.
She calls you up and she says, Kevin, that time we spent together at Coachella.
Right.
Was so sweet, my love. Let's do this. Let's quit skirting around the passion that's so obviously there.
Right.
Let's leave your family. Come with me. Live with in my Victoria's Secret Wonderland forever. And you go, well, I can't pass that up. Look at her. So you do that. And then 5 years down the road, she says, and by the way, I forgot to tell you about that guy I killed that one time. She's still Alessandra Ambrosio. She's still everything that you know and love about her. It's just that she has something in her past from years ago that you didn't know until right now. Deal breaker? You kick her out of bed?
Do you walk out now?
You walk out?
After 5 glorious years?
5 years together, she's the love of your life. Now all of a sudden she's no good to you because of something that happened before you met?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't believe it.
Wow.
He hasn't asked his
tough
penis yet.
Room. He hasn't asked his penis yet is a great, great point, Lisa.
I do have a long
room.
Argument. Don't get me wrong.
A very long argument.
It's a long argument, but.
Well, we thought it would be interesting. Look, we can speculate, but in the vast Kevin and Bean audience, there's got to be people out there who have wrestled with this for reals, right? Where they've been on dates with people and they have found out that there was a killing in the past or
I'm
something.
Sure, yeah.
We need to hear about that. We need to hear what the thought process was, what you decided to do, how it worked out for you. Was it a mistake? I mean, there got to be out there people listening right now who are thinking, wow, this was me. This happened to me. If that's you, we want to talk to you. 1-800-520-1067. And by the way, we'll also have time to include a couple of calls if you just want to weigh in. Is murder automatically a deal breaker? Yes or no? If you feel strongly about it, yes or no? We want to hear. Why are you laughing?
Is there anyone that hasn't murdered? Then yes.
So if it's happened to you, we really want to hear about it. Or if you just want to weigh in on the topic, please call us now. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. So we're learning a lot about the monkey today. Kevin says if you've killed anyone, he's not going to date you.
I think that's reasonable. That's
murder is a deal breaker for Kevin.
Circumstances don't matter.
Well, for the most part.
How long it's been doesn't matter.
For the most part, that's true. I wouldn't go so far as, I mean, we're not talking about somebody in the military, right? We're talking about.
No, I don't think so.
Somebody who killed a committed murder.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're talking about a TV game show host. He went on a dating show in Turkey, revealed that he has killed two previous lovers, which I would think would that would raise some red flags if I were looking for
even for you guys. Yes. Two is too many.
I'm willing to give you a pass, not two passes.
One
murder,
too many.
But not two.
Yeah.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 to find out if you're uptight like Kevin and murder is a deal breaker. Why don't we start with, you know, we were asking for people who've been in this situation. I didn't know that the first call we got would be Art on line six, who is the guy who killed somebody. So let's find out how that works for him in the dating world. Hi, Art. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey. Yeah, I killed somebody.
Well, first of all,
come on. How are you going to come at us like that?
That wasn't him either, I don't think, right?
The real Santa Monica guy moved to Texas.
I know. So. They have phones,
I think we're sad. Let's go to Michael up next on line seven here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Michael, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What do you think?
It's going well. We're talking about this Turkish dating show where the guy says he killed two women. And is murder perhaps a deal breaker? What do you think?
Oh, for sure. That's definitely not chill. Once somebody's crazy, they're gone, man. Like, that's no good.
But what if they've been rehabilitated by going to prison?
They've done a good job of hiding it. I mean, once you're lost, man, you're lost.
So, wait,
hold on a second. People can change?
Yeah, I'm sure they can, but, I mean, dude, that's a pretty strong thing.
But you think somebody is crazy for life forever? If they kill someone at 20, you think for the next 60 years they're so unstable that they can't date?
Wait, let me ask a question before he answers. Is there anyone else out there that hasn't killed?
Yes, of course there.
Then yes for me.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys this. Is murder the only thing that you can't be rehabilitated from?
No, child porn, rape. There's a bunch of stuff that you could do that.
So there's a bunch of things that for life you say that person is just, they're a worthless human forever.
Yes.
All right. I agree with you with the child porn. I don't think those people have a glitch that is very, very difficult to change.
People in prison get killed because they're, you know, some kind of child endangerment or whatever.
Let's talk to David. He's up next. He's on line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, David.
Hi.
You have some...
I don't think it's funny, but right now I'm going to court and I'm going through all this legal trouble right now. My ex is dating a guy who's been convicted 3 times of murder.
Whoa.
He's been in prison for 10 years. He just got out, and we have a son together, and my son is exposed to this gentleman, and, you know, he's a bad role model. And, you know, recently I got custody of my son, but on her visitation, she decides that, you know, this is a good role model.
Oh, no.
That, you know, he needs to be around him because, you know, whatever. And now she's having a baby with this guy. So, you know, she's using that as a hook, you know, come on, you know, to our
son. Let me interrupt because we're short on time. Did you say he's been convicted of 3 different murders?
Well, he's been convicted. He has 3 convictions. One is in prison for, I guess, a fight that was an attempted murder.
Okay.
And 2 other ones. And the details on that are kind of, they're only disclosed to the judge. So I don't really know all the details. I just know that he ended up taking a plea bargain because there was other individuals involved.
Gotcha. I can see why you wouldn't find this funny.
I can see that as well. And especially knowing now your son will grow up a Raiders fan. That has to hurt.
Yep, still doesn't find it funny, Bean.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to
a valiant effort.
Let's go to Eric on line 4. He wants to weigh in on the topic. Is murder a deal breaker? Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys. I think if everything else is going great, I don't think I would
necessarily make it a deal breaker, as long as the girl didn't bring it up, like, every time it got in a fight, like, oh, it's because I killed that guy once. Like,
so, yeah. So if she doesn't bring it up more than once, you're like, willing to overlook it.
You can use that card, like, once a year.
Once a year, okay.
Yeah, and then after that, it's like, if everything else is going good, we're good.
Okay.
So basically, if everything else about the girl seems cool, you can overlook the murder.
Like, yeah, if she doesn't, like, try to strangle me in her sleep or something like that, then...
But aren't you always a little bit worried about that?
You know, I think, like, I honestly think people can change.
Hmm.
Especially if it was, like, something they did when they were, like, young and stupid.
Exactly. You
guys, I hear the young and stupid argument, and I know people can change. I'm just saying, is it worth the risk? I don't know that
you
it
know,
is.
I say love is, but then again, I'm kind of a sucker, so...
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call.
Nice
appreciate
knowing
that.
You, Eric.
Wow, we have a couple calls that are kind of not where we wanted to go, like Johnny accidentally killed someone in a hit and run. That's a non-factor, right? Ralph, soldier in Afghanistan, you kill in war. I mean...
Different.
If somebody holds that against you, that's unfair to you. That's your job, right? Let's go to Nick. He's on line two. He's got an interesting case that involved a death as well.
Hi, Nick. Oops, that was Ralph. Sorry, I went to the wrong line. Hello, Nick.
I was in the neighborhood coming back from school, and I figured I'd stop by my mom's house. And I walked in on her ex-boyfriend trying to rape her.
Oh, dear God, this got dark. Wow.
Yeah, couldn't really...
This went south fast.
Really
hey, look, we're the chuckleheads, okay? We don't need this.
Yeah, you guys have.
So you killed the guy.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I want to date you.
Yeah, my girlfriend stuck with me.
All right.
She knows about it, and she kind of understands the situation.
Sure, yeah. That's a little different, yeah.
Yeah, but again, like in the other examples that we gave, you know, self-defense goes along there with... You know, with accidental land war.
I agree with Dean that...
That went south so fast!
Hang on a second. Note to self. Murder topic still doesn't work.
No, it's very, very sad. Okay. Sad.
All right. What if the person you met who murdered a guy turned out that they murdered Beer Mug?
Well, see, now you've got a whole different story.
Stop it with the murder and the rape and all the other wildly entertaining things you bring to the radio.
We're going to turn this around because the very talented and delightful Katie Stevens and Rita Volk, they are the stars of MTV's Faking It. Join us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Faking It. Faking It. I love that song. I'm solid gold.
That's not
I'm on my way.
I don't think that's unrelated. This is Faking It. You're thinking of Make It Up.
I've got the time. I'm faking it.
Nope. Unrelated.
No more.
Unrelated to this.
Not the same song.
It's an MTV show. Faking it. Fake lesbians so they can be popular.
All right, let's have some fun.
All right.
Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah! Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! I'm gonna have some fun!
Finally, a comic book movie even Lisa May will go to see.
Really?
Wow. Yes. I guarantee you Lisa will go see this one.
Okay.
Yep.
Guarantee.
Is Meryl Streep in it?
Guarantee.
Is Meryl Streep?
Meryl Streep is playing Wonder Woman.
Wonder Grandma.
No, this is going to be a spin-off of the X-Men franchise.
Okay.
One of the X-Men is getting his own movie. Gambit. Gambit's getting his own movie. Oh, I got to love Gambit.
Oh, Gambit's the best.
Remy LeBeau. Ha, ha, ha. From Louisiana, don't you know, Gambit.
Now, what about Gambit appeals to Lisa?
Oh, they just announced the casting. Channing Tatum will be playing Gambit.
Yay!
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
I know you do.
But what does he do for the black people? Doesn't he do anything.
He does. He fights crime for the black people.
Not now, Donald Sterling.
Tatum had expressed interest in the role a while ago, telling MTV News, Gambit is the only X-Man I've ever loved. I mean, I've loved them all. They're all great. But I guess being from down south, my dad's from Louisiana. I'm from Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. I don't know. I just related to him. I would die to play him.
Wow.
You're going to get your wish, Channing Tatum. You're going to die. And you're also going to play Gambit. The last time the character was portrayed, it was by Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights in the X-Men Origins Wolverine in that film. So Taylor must be thrilled that they're making a Gambit movie and that Channing Tatum just landed that plum role. So
I just don't think
he is a good example
the children of Los Angeles.
I think the children of Los Angeles love Channing Tatum. People of New York City, however, don't love Alec Baldwin. He just got arrested for the worst cheesy arrest ever. Alec Baldwin was riding his bike the wrong way on Fifth Avenue.
Oh, they're coming out for him.
They are they? After him.
Seriously.
The cops pulled him over, and Alec apparently didn't have any ID on him, and that's when they took him to the police station.
Unbelievable. That's By the way, ridiculous. They knew he was Alec Baldwin.
Yes, of course they did.
So what does he need ID for?
Alec Baldwin is a fixture in New York City, not to mention many motion pictures and TV credits to his name. Those cops knew what they were doing. Yeah. They're just yanking his chain right there, his bike chain.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the dude.
Are you guys comfortable with the law in some places in this country where you are legally required to carry ID with you?
Yes. Not really.
I'm fine with that.
What's the downside? It just seems a little... There's no downside. It's just you could actually ticket me if I'm riding my bike and I don't happen to have a driver's license with me.
You should have ID of some form on you at all times, in my opinion.
Thank you, officer.
It's getting more like communism, saying exactly. We're going to do this and do that.
It's a really minor thing that really helps smooth things over.
Identify me when I get plowed down by a car?
Yes, that's
that
one.
That is true. I have thought
that's,
of that.
That's one. And another one is, should anything go down in the neighborhood where they need to, have you as a witness or perhaps a suspect? I think everyone should be able to be identified by law enforcement.
I don't like it.
I don't think it's a lot to ask. Boy, what are you running from?
I'm not running for anything.
What secrets do you have?
That's why he's living like a hermit. We don't even know where he lives.
How many bodies are buried under the barn that you have to worry about them knowing who you are? You don't want anyone to know who you are, the most basic of all things.
Right, but this is the same argument that, well, I don't care if the NSA listens to my calls. I don't have anything to hide. You still don't want the government listening to your phone calls. I don't want the government to be able to demand to know who I am if I'm out on the street and I'm not breaking any laws and doing anything wrong.
They need to know who you are more than most people.
Yeah, really. It's always the guys who don't want them to know who they are that we worry. That's why we have the law in place, because we need you to be able to be identified.
Why not just get our names and Social Security numbers tattooed on our foreheads, Ralph, so it's easy for the cops to see who we are at all times? Why not just
That's
take
a reasonable
the next step?
Reaction. I like it.
Yeah, that's good.
It's
a legitimate argument and a very well-reasoned addition to the conversation.
Thank you.
Why not just put a chip in the back of our necks? They can spot us from satellites.
Hey, so that's a pretty reasonable reaction, huh?
Here's an idea, Bean. Just put your tinfoil hat back on and let's carry on with the conversation.
Hey, don't call me Bean. I'm not Bean. You don't know who Bean is. You don't know if I'm Bean or not.
Don't identify me. I don't even know who I am.
Anyone ever comes in contact with him.
That's
unless
the police
come to your house,
that's
they're not
the
going to find you.
Look, you can have an opinion on laws that don't directly affect you just because you care about how the country is run.
You don't care.
I don't really see how. What's the downside?
I don't think. Never mind. The downside is I don't think the government should be able to demand for you to have ID. That's all I'm saying. I don't like it.
I don't think.
Yeah, we can agree on something.
He's got ID. He's a law-abiding citizen.
All right, but so
he's got age.
No, he doesn't.
Donald Sterling, we don't need your help.
He's not an anarchist like Bean. He doesn't want to burn this mother down. He's actually playing by the rules, and we appreciate
Bean has had it with the man.
I up have. To here. Thank you.
Well, yeah, he gets hassled all the time there, Kevin. You know? Up there on the island.
Or if that's where he still is.
When he's pacing in his bedroom the wrong way, and the cops ask him to show ID. What a loon. And speaking of playing by the rules, apparently Casey Kasem, legendary DJ and voiceover artist, his daughter, Kerry Kasem, was attempting to get temporary caretaker status over him because she is worried about his health and his treatment from his wife and his wife's family. So she was suing to that effect. And then the wife's lawyer shows up and goes, oh, wait, I don't know where he is. He's gone.
Like he just wandered off?
I think my client moved him out of the country, which was her right. And the daughter was like, that's my dad. He's gravely ill. He's 82 years old, suffering from advanced Parkinson's. She won't let me see him, and now she's moved him? Well, the judge saw her side and said, yeah, I'm going to investigate this. We're going to find out where Mr. Kasem is. We're going to get Don on the phone and see where Casey Kasem is.
He's Don on the phone.
Don is not on the phone
Bean does not like the fact that the government wants to know where he is.
Why can't he just disappear? Why does the government demand to know where he is? But can't he be in the bottom of a lake somewhere if that's where his wife wants to put him?
I am not a winner.
No, you are not, sir.
I also don't think there's any evidence that he's being abused, and his wife should be allowed to travel with her husband if she wants to.
Which she clearly, this is clearly not that case.
And if there's no nothing to hide, why won't the wife let his own kids see him in his last months of life?
I agree.
What's going on there?
But
you can't agree on both sides. Can't agree for the wife and for the kids.
No, I'm saying the wife has the right to take her husband somewhere. She's looking after him. She's, you know, in charge of him. But I don't know what the family drama is involved, but it's extremely unfortunate that the children aren't allowed to see their father. And I don't think they're coming after him for money or anything like that. I think they legitimately just want to spend time with him before he dies.
You, sir, are crazy.
It's a sad, sad situation.
Why am I crazy? Pizza! Because I think there's a 75% or higher chance that it is about money. I mean, it could be both, but money certainly is involved. Come
on. Look, we're both guessing, but I don't think you're crazy if you're wrong.
I do.
I think you're both crazy.
Right.
And wrong.
And wrong. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Good evening. Heads up for Friday at 10 p.m. in Brea, California, down there in the O.C. Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We're bringing it back to the Brea Improv. Love to have you come out and join us 10 p.m.
No.
Friday night.
No.
Go to improv.com.
No. No, idiot.
Click on... Brea, and there will be. And then just
speaking of no,
just get your tickets.
Being using Ralph against him.
I know.
No, 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 no.
So maybe he'll be there.
No.
So there's still a chance you might show up.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Harvey Keitel, 75; Stevie Wonder, 64; Alan Ball. He gave us 6 feet under.
He did.
He's a good guy.
Was he also American Beauty?
I think maybe.
He was.
I think he wrote the script for that.
Yeah.
But he's also True Blood.
Yeah.
More important.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
57 years old. Stephen Colbert turns 50 today. Robert Pattinson and Lena Dunham both celebrate their 28th birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
These girls are going to be trouble, I can tell. They're going to need to be wrangled.
No. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
They are the stars of MTV's new hit show called Faking It. Actress Katie Stevens and Rita Volk here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Hi, guys.
Now,
I can already tell that Rita has had an ass full of Katie. I can already tell that that's happened. I don't know what kind of contract you guys have, but somebody's going to be trying to get out of it before the season is over.
No, I can't. I signed it in blood.
Oh.
She's stuck with me forever.
And
I'm stuck with her. And there is nothing I can do about it.
She's in love with me. Don't let her fool you.
I've tried.
Yeah.
That may just be on the TV show. I'm not sure. You may be confused about that. We're going to talk all about Faking It, get people up to speed before the new episode airs tonight at 10:30. How has the reaction been to Faking It? Has there been any controversy about it? Because if there is, it's escaped me.
Surprisingly, no. I think it was something...
Would you like us to start some?
No.
Okay. All right. It's a service we provide.
She looked alarmed. When we started doing the show, it was something that we were prepared for, like to have a lot of controversy and have people, you know, be up in arms about
the
concept.
You got an agenda and you're promoting it. Yeah.
And, for the people that did cause controversy initially that said, you know, this is a show about straight girls pretending to be lesbians, that's offensive. It's amazing now because we've taken those people that were kind of against the show at first and now... Since watching it, they see that it's nothing like what they thought, and they love it. We have...
We proved them wrong. So it just took time. It took time for it to pick up, for people to give it a chance, and now that they have, there's really not that much controversy.
The thing that we've learned is that when people want to complain, they don't have to have seen any of it.
Mm-mm,
and then they
yeah.
just condemn, yep. condemn, condemn, and you go, hey, how about, I don't know, a couple seconds while
yeah.
watching it.
Yeah, that happens.
But
yeah.
the truth is that the show is really well done in that, well, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the impression that I got away from it is that it's realistic. It seems like a silly premise, except you guys make it seem believable and realistic because teenage girls, they got a lot of emotions and they're finding themselves sexually and they're finding themselves in where they end up in their class and they're trying to be popular and there's a lot of things all going into, you know, into a big messy stew, and you guys are kind of navigating your way through that in a pretty realistic way for such a broad comedy idea, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
we had moments where people actually came up to us when we were doing press and just different events. We had girls come up to us and say, I'm so glad that something something like this is on television, because this is how I discovered that I was a lesbian, or this is how I discovered that I felt, you know, this certain way because I fell in love with my best friend in high school. So to hear that, you know, is amazing, because you are shooting a show. You are on set. Sometimes you forget that some of the things that you do actually apply to real life.
People actually watch it and have opinions.
Yeah. And we're like, wow.
And I like, because Carter talks, you know, a lot about...
He's the creator, right?
Yeah. He's our showrunner. And he talked about, somebody had asked, you know, do you think that the show would have worked the same if you had two guys? And he said that he didn't think so because, you know, girls, you know, when
kissing
you're...
is hot.
Yeah.
Did he say that or no? I'm sorry. I must
have... No, but
okay.
Now you're
people
starting some controversy right there.
No.
Uh-oh.
No, but he says, you know, and I know this from just like, you know, having girlfriends, like when you're best friends as women, the relationship is very different amongst women in friendships than it is men. Like, women are more nurturing, and, you know, it's almost like you're in a relationship.
Yeah,
you go to the bathroom together,
you know, fights, all that stuff.
And it's really like a relationship, which is why, you know, for them to take the spin on the female relationship and actually have somebody have legitimate feelings for the other is... It was just a spin on the whole women friendship concept.
These are the voices of actresses Katie Stevenson, Rita Volk on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about their MTV show, which is called Faking It. You guys are a little closer to high school age than I am.
maybe.
And I know that this isn't it's not the same in every high school around the country. But I wonder how realistic what's going on in the high school you guys portray on the TV show would be to real life right now. I mean, are lesbians still made fun of in high school, or are they generally accepted because that's 17-year-olds don't care whether you're straight or gay?
That's honestly my high school experience. Like, we say this all the time. We realize that the high school that we portray, Hester High School, is not like normal high schools. Their motto is that the more unique you are, the more popular you are.
Right.
So the people that are on the outskirts are the... You know, the jocks and the cheerleaders, and that was not how my high school was. My high school was like...
I don't think anyone's is.
No, mine was like the cafeteria of Mean
Girls.
It's
very rare.
Don't stand out. Whatever you do, don't stand out.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, I remember we did, at my high school, we did have a lesbian couple, and no one really cared. It was just like, you know, every other relationship. Like, nobody really cared at my high school if you were gay or straight.
I was going to say, I think also it's important to say from the very beginning, this wasn't something that we said, okay, this is realistic, this is what every environment is like, because we are aware that it's not.
Right.
So it's more of, you know, hoping that this could be some kind of example that people could look up to in their actions day by day, little things. Can we make, you know, our environment similar to this?
Yeah.
At some point.
And MTV is doing this cool thing where they're going to be doing this thing called How to Hester Your High.
How to Hester Your High.
So our,
is that
our
a final
Hester It Up.
Is that a final title?
I think so.
It is.
You don't look too happy
about
it.
No, it's all good.
Do you like it?
Just check it. Love
okay.
it. Love it.
But
okay.
It's like Hester High School is like really cool. So it's like How to Hester Your High School. Like, make it. God, now it sounds really dumb.
I know.
I'm sorry to put that.
High. That sounds raunchy.
Hester, you're high.
All right.
I don't know. We'll talk to MTV about it.
I'm sorry to put some doubt in your mind. You didn't have it before.
I liked it until you opened your big mouth,
Kevin. Time to get out of that contract.
My bad.
Faking It is the name of the show we're talking about. Tuesday nights at 10:30 on MTV. More with our guests, Katie and Rita, right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Actress Katie Stevens, actress Rita Volk. They are the stars of MTV's Faking It, airing Tuesday nights at 10:30. By the way, you guys have both done a little bit of acting before, been on the TV before, but what's it like when you're on MTV? I just imagine that your world just kind of turns upside down overnight with people who know who you are, right?
It's crazy. I mean, the things that we have done so far, because we're part of that family, we wouldn't be able to do otherwise. We went to New York. We had a billboard in Times Square.
Oh, wow.
We freaked out.
We cried.
And we cried. That was my first time in New York.
That was her first time in New York.
It was my first time in New York.
That's the first time you've ever been to New York.
That was the first time in New York.
How annoying is that? It's her first time to New York,
and she's got
a
giant
billboard.
And I have a
billboard.
And I didn't really know, you know, I mean, I know what Times Square looks like, but I didn't really know how to orient myself and where it was. So I'm walking, and then I know, I feel I'm getting closer, and then I'm running, and I'm like, where is it?
Start hyperventilating because I know where I am.
Right.
Because I'm from Connecticut, so I grew up going to Times Square and going to New York like every weekend. So we're approaching Times Square, and I'm just like,
oh my God, it's happening. it's really happening. And then we got in front of it and we just like looked at each other and it was so funny. There were these two guys sitting on a bench and they were like eating a hot dog and Rita and I are standing in front of the billboard.
Looking at yourself.
Sobbing hysterically. Like, and
they didn't realize
each other.
It at first. And they were looking at us and the billboard and then us. And then it clicked. You could see it clicked. They're right. Like, oh my God, that's them. And we're just standing there like idiots. And I
sobbing.
I call my parents and my
we're
dad.
We're FaceTiming everyone we know.
Sure.
Like,
look behind like, us.
My parents thought something happened. My dad picked up the phone and I was like, Dad. And he's like, what's wrong? And I hear my mom in the background, like, they probably thought my first time in New York, like, I got mugged. I don't know. And I'm like, I'm in Times Square looking at my billboard.
What was, you guys probably auditioned separately and then at some point they had you audition together,
no,
right?
No, we went out for, went the, out same for the same part.
Oh,
we
tell us about that.
So,
girl fight.
So I was, I was actually the very last person they saw for Karma.
Okay.
And I went in and I thought that it was the worst audition that I've ever had in my entire life. Like, I was just in my head going, you suck.
Is that a normal thing for you? I mean, do you doubt yourself a lot? Or was this one stand out as
this stood out.
Okay.
And it was because I had gotten the audition only a few hours prior. So then I went in for my audition. They liked me and they asked me to come back the next day, in which point I met Rita the next day because we were both going out for Karma. And we were like, you know, let's not do this, like, mean girl audition thing. Like, we're completely different if they choose you. Blonde hair.
It's up to the gods. We don't
know. It's like, you know, we look completely different. It's not a reflection of our talent. And then when we went in for our test session, we went in, both did our thing for Karma. There were girls there for Amy. They went in and did their thing. And then one of the executives from MTV came
Allison,
out.
Allison, yeah. The
and the casting director.
They came out. She came out.
It's cute how you guys finish each other's sentences. They came out.
We
and
finished
then,
can you talk? Sandwiches.
Aren't we cute?
but they came out and they kind of looked like nervous. They were like, oh, do you mind if you can you read for this other part?
Like
it's
they felt
all the same.
Like you
they
were gonna
felt
go,
like
no.
Like they were throwing you know a curveball at me, which I guess doesn't really. I mean that doesn't happen. I guess I was told that just doesn't happen. They don't.
But they liked
that
you
role.
So much they could only hire one of you for one part, so they wanted
but I was
to.
Well,
work
hell
with
yeah,
both
I'll
of you.
Read for the other part because then I'm doubling my chances of getting it. So so I was like, yeah, let's do it.
And now that like you know we have like the parts, we hear the behind the scenes of it where Carter says, you know, they were in after we both went in, they were like, okay, so who do you like? And he was like, I don't know, they're both so different. I like them both. And the president of the network goes, well. Clearly, Rita's Amy.
Really?
He was just kind of like, oh, I never really thought of that.
How
it took him
that?
10 minutes. And he
said,
he
said, honestly, it never really crossed my mind because I never really thought of Amy as being that hot.
Wow. That sounds worse than it had to be, right?
Thanks, Katie.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Well, you guys
this
make
is why
a,
I keep her around.
You guys make a fantastic fake lesbian couple. You guys are
Thank
doing
you.
A great job. The
I've
show
always is wanted to hear that. Thank you.
Right? That's what you dream about when you're a little girl. Let me play a clip from the show. This will give you an idea. Not only it sets up the whole premise of the show, but it also shows you how adorable these girls are together. Listen up.
Thank God the voting age is 18. Teenagers are idiots. I don't know. Maybe we should see how this plays out.
You're kidding, right? They think we're lesbians. It's ridiculous. I don't even like looking at my own vagina.
Amy, we were invited to the hottest party of the year. We've been nominated for a homecoming queen. You have to admit, this is working for us.
Small problem. We're not gay.
Everyone has a lesbian phase in college. We're just moving ours up.
See? That's all? That's all that's going on?
They were mouthing the words.
Exactly. We are so cool.
Every line.
They know it. Faking it. Tuesday nights at 10:30 on MTV. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Thank you for having us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
How adorable were our guests from the MTV show Faking It, by the way?
Quite.
Super fun. Great show. You guys ought to watch it. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's happening?
Let me remind you that Friday night in Brea, California, Kevin Smith and I are returning for Hollywood Babylon to the Improv. We'd love to have you come out and join us Friday night at 10 p.m. there in Brea. I love Brea because they got a Farrell's ice cream. Kevin just got
Farrell's
interested. Kevin just got interested.
Where's Farrell's?
Come on down. Have a pig's dinner there in
pig's
Brea.
Pig's trough.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Before the show, come on down, Kev.
No.
Get some ice cream and then come see the show.
No!
Kevin.
I'll get some ice cream.
Oh, you bastard.
No! No! No!
Go to improv.com, click on Brea. There will be on Friday at 10 p.m. You can get your tickets there. We're going to have a good time, even if Kevin doesn't show up. Especially if Kevin doesn't show up.
Not interested.
Sad news today. Legendary surrealist artist H.R. Giger died at the age of 74. How would I know him? You would know him best, Kevin, for creating the otherworldly creature in Ridley Scott's 1979 horror film Alien.
Oh.
He designed the alien.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. He's also done a ton of other amazing...
He's the guy who invented the Geiger counter, right? Is that him? Same guy?
Yeah. Sure, Bean.
Yeah. And Tesla invented the electric car. The Batman suit is now on the interwebs. You can see what Zack Snyder is going to bring us when Ben Affleck plays Batman in the Batman vs. Superman movie. He tweeted a picture this morning of Ben Affleck in the costume in front of the new Batmobile. And I got to tell you, it sure is a dark picture.
I'll tell you, you sure can't see Ben Affleck at all.
Sure is black and white and very dark. So it's got that going for it. But other than that, I think it looks pretty cool. It doesn't look like every other bat suit we've seen, so I guess there's that. That's good.
Sure.
Looks good.
Sure.
No idea what the movie's going to be like, or Ben Affleck as Batman's going to be like, but from that picture right there, looks good.
It looks good.
Looks good. This is disturbing. See that footage of Solange Knowles just kicking all the 99 problems out of Jay-Z there in the elevator?
Yeah,
they were at the Met Ball after party a couple weeks ago, and they're in the elevator. It was Beyonce and her husband Jay-Z and Solange Knowles, and boy, something ticked her off. So she starts to wail on Jay-Z, and I got to say, Jay-Z is, I got to give him a lot of credit. He's remarkably restrained in that video. Beyonce doesn't help at all, I know that much.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Jay-Z's bodyguard does his best to step in and protect his employer. He hits the emergency button to stop the elevator car and get everything under control before anyone goes outside. And they eventually get off. Solange gets in a few more shots and storms off. No word on what got Solange so ticked off and why she got so violent. But Jay-Z's got 100th problem. And the bitch is one.
The bitch's sister.
Apparently. Clay Aiken killed a dude. I thought that was interesting.
That I don't think has been proven.
Well... What do you mean by proof?
Well, I'm saying any kind of proof.
Listen, I have seen enough TV procedurals, dramas, to put two and two together. Clay Aiken is running for Senate, or Congress, rather, in his district, and the man opposing him, Keith Crisco, made political hay out of the fact that Clay Aiken is a homosexual.
Right.
And the election was last week. Clay was ahead by 369 votes. But this guy, Crisco, refuses to concede because he wants every single ballot counted, the military ballots, the absentee ballots. He will not say no. He will not back down to Clay Aiken.
That's fair enough when a race is that close, I think.
I would think so, too.
I agree. But Clay Aiken didn't want to lose the race, so he killed him.
That's just not true.
He was found dead in his home yesterday afternoon by paramedics.
Right.
Dead.
Okay, the guy died.
Guilty.
That's alleged.
The guy died, but that doesn't mean Clay Aiken had anything to do with it.
Oh, okay. So his biggest political rival is dead, and you just want to look the other way? What a great cop you'd make, man.
Oh, I think we all know I'd make a great cop.
Who is suspect number one? Who had most to gain by the victim's death? Officer Gruden would ask.
Yes, he would.
And boom! That Clay Aiken would be wearing cuffs.
Yeah, I don't think
that. He'd go to the Hooskow.
I don't think that has anything.
It's North Carolina. They don't need proof.
Well, that could be
true. That is true, actually.
Actually, Keith Crisco apparently fell while he was home yesterday afternoon, and Clay Aiken has the nomination. That's all I know. Clay Aiken has the nomination. So, you draw your own conclusion.
Can I hear that last deadly moment again?
Sure. There you go.
It's kind of sad for the poor guy.
You know, some people, Clay Aiken, he doesn't have that in him. He's not a killer.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask the four or five dead contestants on American Idol that season?
I don't think any of them are dead.
Look it up.
If I looked it up,
dead
would any
and
of
or
them
missing.
Be dead?
I have no idea.
Well, then why are you saying it?
Because it makes for sensational, sensational radio. Come on, hot fudge, holy moly.
Hot fudge, holy moly. What's going on?
Right, we're just having some fun accusing people of murder.
A lot of murder talk today.
There's a lot of murder. That's true. Today was murderific. Boxing coming back to the Fabulous Forum.
Fantastic.
Marquez versus Alvarado. Big, big fight on May the 17th at the Forum. Tickets are now on sale at Ticketmaster.com. But why pay when you can win? How would you like to go to see Marquez versus Alvarado at the Forum on the 17th? Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number.
Yes!
Yes, that gentleman would like to go.
Right.
Ticketmaster! Ticketmaster is where you buy the tickets for Marquez versus Alvarado, but I'm giving away a pair of tickets right now to the 17th caller at 1-800-520-1067 since the fight is on May the 17th. That's this Saturday, if I'm not mistaken.
That is this Saturday.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lena Dunham from Girls is 28 years old today. Whew. It's a heck of a 28 right there. Robert Pattinson is 28 as well.
And by that, you mean look how much she's accomplished.
Yes.
And how successful she is and how popular she is.
Those are all the things that I meant.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oof. I'd just like to thank Bean for not giving her a bell. I know how much he loves her, but
I'm stunned. I'm stunned he has that kind of restraint.
You know, you respect her ability, but I don't know that she's bell-worthy.
I did not attempt to give her a bell at all.
Thank
because
you.
That's not her strongest suit.
All right.
I'm a huge fan of hers.
Nice way of saying it.
Robert Pattinson, where's his bell? He's freaking dreamy.
He is pretty dreamy.
And he
actually
sparkles in the sun.
That's true.
That's right. Fact.
I saw that. That's science.
And he was one of the singing dogs, or no? He was not a dog.
He was a singing bat.
He was a bat, that's right.
He's 28 years old. Stephen Colbert is 50. Alan Ball, writer, producer. Genius, dare I say?
Sure.
57 years old today. Stevie Wonder is 64 years old. And Harvey Keitel, boy, talk about your geniuses. He is one of my favorite actors. 75 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew on the program. We also have Jared Napute and Olivia Puckett, who are from American Idiot.
Oh,
from the musical American Idiot. They will be performing live as well.
That is so cool.
And that's going to be fun.
And we have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014.
It's going to be a live Broadway performance.
I know.
Lisa's
going to go
Lisa's
crazy.
Beside herself.
I'm just going to stay here.
She might eat a nut. That's how crazy she's going to get.